Exodus chapter 15. Would you turn with me there, please? Exodus 15. We've been studying a series about the names of God and what they mean and their significance in Scripture. We started off with Jehovah Jireh, there found in Genesis and the beginning part of Genesis. And then this morning we're going to look at another name for God in Exodus 15, Jehovah Rapha. When I lived in Niger, West Africa, we were hundreds of miles from any decent hospital. But there was this one clinic we would go to where the doctor had a pretty good reputation. We often faced sickness in the Niger, whether it was malaria, dysentery, or all these other odd ailments. And one time I had an extremely painful infection in my nose. It was bad. I went to this doctor and walked in his office, and he took a look at the infection, and it didn't take him long, and he went and walked back to his drawer, which was across the room, and what he came back with concerned me. He came back with a scalpel. I said out loud to him in French, which was, qu'est-ce que tu fais, means, what are you doing? And I really said that. I didn't mean to come across disrespectful, but I mean, please put yourself in my shoes if you can. I said, what are you doing with that? He said, well, I'm about to see if I can cut this infection out of your nose. And maybe that wouldn't have been so bad if he didn't have a smile on his face when he said it. And honestly, folks, I thought to myself, I didn't say it out loud, but I thought to myself, Lord, I'm coming home. It was one of those situations where I didn't know what was going to happen, and I was praying, Lord, please help me here. So he did indeed cut out the infection, and I survived to see another day, praise the Lord. I must say that was not a pleasant experience. But after all was said and done, I was very thankful for the healing that took place following the procedure. I could tell the difference immediately, even leaving the office that morning. You know, sometimes, church, it hurts to be healed. The passage we're about to read recalls the testimony of a people who God wanted to heal. They were sick and didn't even realize it. They had just experienced great victory of being delivered from the horrendous conditions in Egypt and the tyrannical grip of Pharaoh. God had brought them through the Red Sea on dry land. He destroyed the enemy that followed them and pursued after them. However, it only took 3 days for discontentment and murmuring to kick in. God gave them this situation that we're about to read about to prove them and to reveal their true heart. You see, God was teaching them a valuable lesson at the beginning of their wilderness journey. He is to be trusted, obeyed, and praised no matter what obstacles arise. And I didn't plan this message to be in the context of our graduation Sunday, but that's the way God planned it. But I will say it right at the beginning, graduates, let that be true in your life. That you simply determine now, not later, but now, that God is to be trusted, to be obeyed, and to be praised no matter what comes your way. Would you read with me, please, in Exodus chapter 15? Verses, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 23. Remember, they had just come through the victory of the Red Sea, and they came to a place called Marah. And when they came to Marah, verse 23, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Now, murmuring is a complaining, critical, discontented spirit. It was not a question by faith. It was not, okay, we know God's brought us this far. What's He going to provide at this point? No, they were upset. And notice what Moses' response was in verse 25. "And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them." Now you ought to underline that in your Bible. "There he tested them to see what was going to be in their hearts." And verse 26, "And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight," you ought to underline that too, not their sight, but his sight, "and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee." Hence the phrase there in the Hebrew is Jehovah Rapha. Would you pray with me? God Almighty, I confess to you this morning that I need you. I can do nothing apart from your grace. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me to recall the things that you've taught me through this study. And I pray that I'd be able to communicate it full of grace and truth. And God Almighty, may you bring a healing work upon each of our hearts for your glory. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. You see, that's what we see here in this. That name heal is how the Hebrew word Rapha is usually translated in Scripture. And I'm going to mention more about that here in just a moment. But the root meaning of the word Rapha is to mend, to repair, or restore something to its normal or useful state. You see, this word Rapha is used 67 times in the Old Testament. And of those times, 57 times, it is translated into heal, to be healed. 5 times, it's translated physician. 1 time, it's translated cure. And there's a few other miscellaneous words that are put forth. It's used the most times in the book of Jeremiah, which is quite interesting to me, because Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. And he preached judgment, but you know equally he preached the healing hand of God. But you know, there's also other Hebrew words used, but they're derivatives of the word Rapha. 3 to be exact. There's marpe, which it's used 16 times, and it's translated healing, health, sound, deliver, and one word I want you to remember for later, it's actually translated yielding 1 time. Also, we have refuth, which is used 1 time. It's in Proverbs 3:8, and it speaks of health. There's also refuah. It's used 3 times and is also a derivative of Rapha. But I want to make clear here at the very beginning of the message, the primary use of Rapha is in the context of spiritual healing to God's people. Do you get that? It is primarily used in the context of spiritual healing of God's people. He indeed is the great physician that heals us physically, mentally, and most importantly, spiritually. In our passage, God is communicating His desire to make them spiritually healthy people. Notice with me several ways the great physician longs to heal us. Now, remember in our passage, we're talking about a people who have been delivered from Egypt. God has a plan for them. He has set them on a course, and He has set them to fulfill His plan, to be a testimony to the world that the God of Israel, the God of the Bible, is the true and only wise God. And He's going to have to prepare them for that, because there's some things that they need to learn about Him and their own hearts. Let me share with you just some things that I have come to believe that God would have me give you this morning in the context of Jehovah Rapha. Number one, I want us to see, if you're taking notes, please, that God heals our wicked hearts. That's the first thing that needs to be healed in our lives, is our wicked hearts. It is God who heals our sin-sick soul. And it is only through the cross of Jesus Christ that that can be done. Luke 5:31, Jesus teaching on this very subject said, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, They that are whole," or healthy, if you will, "need not a physician, but they that are sick." And you see, brethren, every person born in this world is born sick spiritually because of sin. It is the curse of sin that comes upon us. And we see that only God has the remedy. And many people are out there today trying to cure this sickness by treating the symptoms. And you've ever been there with your own life, just physically speaking, where you get sick? And I think of one. I don't know if you've ever had one of these, but those of you that had understand what I'm talking about. But that's a sinus infection. You can try to treat a sinus infection with maybe just a decongestant or whatnot, but those of you that have severe sinus infections understand that you just got to go get the antibiotics to knock it out. Or some other much more powerful thing. It might be in your situation might be something natural, and that's fine. But the fact of the matter is, you have to take some. You have to get to the root of the problem. You can't just treat the symptoms of decongesting and whatnot. What I want to tell you, it's the same thing with sin. A lot of people in our world are trying to cure their sin problem by dealing with all their symptoms that they have because of that. And there's all these man-made approaches. But I want to tell you, there is no cure for the sin-sick soul apart from Christ Jesus. He's the one that can only. And I am telling you this morning that God has made a way for us to be healed of our spiritual sickness. And He did it through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. I think of Isaiah 53:5 that says, "But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him." And get it? "And with His stripes we are healed." Amen. That means by the lashes that our Savior took upon His divine, sinless, royal body. The lashes that He took across His back. The punches that He took to His head. The spitting that He received from sinners like you and me. He did that so that we could be healed. The nails that He took through His hands and through His feet. The crown of thorns that was placed upon our King of Kings' head. It was for our transgressions. And it was so that I and so that you could be completely healed of our sin sickness. Glory! Hallelujah! Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals. And I want to encourage you today, my friend, if you're here as a member or even as a visitor, whomever you might be, but you've never been truly healed by the blood of Christ, by casting yourself at His mercy and asking Him to heal you of your soul, would you do that today? Would you not put it off, and would you come to the great physician and say, "Almighty God, I realize that I've been trying to play religion. I've been trying to find out all these different ways to heal my sin-sick soul. But today, God Almighty, I want to trust You and the cross of Calvary." We welcome always here that come to the church. We always welcome at the end of the service people that want to respond to the gospel and be saved. And if that's you, when we do give that invitation, please don't be ashamed. In fact, we're going to celebrate with you. But if you need to come to Christ and trust His salvation, do that today. Secondly, notice with me, this is going to be primarily in the context of God's people. God's healing upon God's people. Let me make this statement. Please listen carefully. The most mature Christians are still in need of daily healing from Jehovah Rapha. The most mature are in need of daily healing. Would you say amen? I mean, I might be alone on there, but I need daily healing from my God. Areas where I'm sick. And we all have that. And the Lord is wont to bring a healing upon us daily. And we thank Him for that. Let me give you several ways that God is desiring to bring healing upon His children. I'd like to just say this one right off. Not only does God heal our wicked hearts and then we become His children, but secondly, God heals our past failures, our past hurts, past bad experiences. I know Christians who are in bondage to their past. When in reality, God is wanting to bring healing and restoration. Christ will make the bitter waters sweet, brethren. He desires to take those things in our lives that have been hurtful and that have been harmful because of sin in some way, and He desires to take that, brethren, and bring us along and bring a healing upon our lives. We may have scars from past decisions in our life, but God wants us to press forward in His grace by forgetting those things which are behind. You know, Paul could have lived his life really in bondage, thinking about witnessing the murder of Stephen and other Christians that he locked up, and maybe he even had just horrible dreams of hearing children cry and women cry as their husbands were being torn from them and families being torn apart and thrown in the jail because their belief in Christ. I don't know what all Paul had to deal with. He had to deal with what he thought was the right way all along. But you know, Paul didn't dwell on that. He said, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing toward the high calling, the high prize, which is only in Christ Jesus. God will bring a healing. I have a scar on this right knuckle on my hand. It came from when God corrected me. Joanna and I had only been married, I think, maybe a year. I was in Bible college, and yep, I was a Bible college student studying to be a missionary, to be a pastor. And we had gotten in a fight, in an argument, and just disagreed. And I did not respond well at all. I was in the flesh. I was an angry man. That's right. I was in Bible college, and I had an angry spirit. And God had to break me of that. And I'm thankful He did and continues to. But I went to work that day, and boy, it was just bad when I left the house. Just, I knew that I had messed up and said some wrong things and just handled it just miserably. But I went to work, and I knew God was dealing with me about that, and got to work. I worked at a glass factory, IGA, and just working through Bible college. And we made a lot of windows and a lot of sharp objects, okay? It was a dangerous place to work, but hey, it put food on the table. And I remember this one time, my job was second shift, and the glass and windows that were made during the day, we put them on the trucks. There was probably about 7 or 8 trucks we loaded during the night. And this particular one, you had to be so careful. We wore special gloves, but nevertheless, the back was not protected. This side was. And so when I was tying down this one stack of glass inside the truck, I thought I had it down good, and I moved to the next stack to get it start loading, and I noticed it was starting to fall. And what I did, mistakenly, but just as a reaction trying to catch it, I moved my hand over like that and caught the edge right on that knuckle. And it split my knuckle wide open, and I could see the knuckle and everything. And you know, as soon as it happened, church, as soon as it happened, it was like a voice. I didn't hear audible voice, but it could have very well been. It was just as clear as day. It just something like this. Stop it. The Lord was correcting me. I had that bitter, angry spirit. I was in the wrong. I knew it. And God corrected me right there. And I knew exactly. And the Lord dealt with me. And I'm so thankful for that. And I look back at that experience, church, and I'm thankful for my wife who was super forgiving and talked to her when I got home that night, and we made things right, and I had to call her from the emergency room. Honey? Yes? Have you been praying? Have you been praying, Lord, get him? I deserved it. But you know, when I look at this scar today, friends, I want to tell you, I don't think of guilt. I don't think of condemnation. When I look at the scar today, ladies and gentlemen, I think of God's forgiveness. I think of His healing. He healed me through that. He taught me some things. And God will do that in our lives. And when we've messed up, He will take it and teach us His truth. And He'll work with us and He'll help us. I think of the psalmist even said it like this in Psalm 147:3. He said, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. My friend, I don't know what you are dwelling in your past, but if you are letting your past put a damper over your life to put you in bondage, can I exhort you that you have Jehovah Rapha who's wanting you to put that past behind you, and He is wanting to bring a healing work in your life so that you can move forward with power, so you can move forward with clarity and victory. Let Him get the glory. Not only do I see God heals our past failures, but I see in Scripture clearly that God heals our backsliding. We see in the Scriptures that's what was happening. They had only been out of the Red Sea for 3 days. It sounds just like Brinson Jennings. Make a decision and 3 days later, here he goes again. We can easily be forgetful and we can get away from God, but God heals our backsliding. Backsliding is basically this. It's a Bible word, by the way. It's used about 8-9 times. Backslider is used once in the book of Proverbs 14:14. But it speaks of basically being wayward. It speaks of getting off track. The track that God has revealed through His Word, and we kind of go our own way. That's what it says. The backslider is filled with his own way. But what we have here is God desiring to bring healing in that. I remember I worked for a landscaping company in Hilton Head, South Carolina, between my junior and senior year of high school. I thought I was big stuff. My sister lived there. I lived with her and her husband. I thought I was just arrived. I worked with Ocean Woods Landscaping and loved Hilton Head, beautiful Hilton Head, South Carolina. And in my job that summer, I had a riding lawnmower. And I had these different places that I had to go to on the island and enjoyed every bit of it. I did a lot of mowing that summer, learned a lot of things. But one thing I didn't like about the job was all the ponds I had to cut around. They were full of gators. Big ones. I didn't like that. There was one pond that I had a bank that was so steep I had to be super careful, and I was terrified of that day. I think it was even on a Tuesday. I hadn't liked Tuesday since. But Tuesday was that day that I had to go and cut around this particular pond, and it was just always an anxious time. Well, one day I got too close, and I started sliding. It happened. I knew it would happen. And I started sliding, and the more I tried to get out, the further I went down, closer to the edge of the pond. What do you think I'm thinking about at that time? Gators. And I couldn't get out, and finally I realized I could not get out. And what I did is I called my boss and told him humbly, listen, I got too close to the edge, and I'm stuck, and I need your help. And thankfully, he came out and helped me to get the mower off the bank. We didn't even have any gators attack us, thank the Lord. But you know, that's a lot of times what happens in life. We get off track. And by the way, just by spiritual application, let me just say this. Sometimes it's because we're getting too close to the world. And we get off track, and God is seeking to get our attention and to bring us back. I think about Jeremiah 3:22. He was the prophet that cried out. He said, "Return, you backsliding children." And get it. Listen to the promise. He says, "Return, you backsliding children. I'm about to whip you." It's not what he said. Notice what he said. "Return, backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings." Healing. He wants to bring. They said, "Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God." Hosea, another prophet, a minor prophet, says, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up." God will many times break us in order to heal us. Hosea 14:4 says, "I will heal their backsliding." I love this next phrase. He says, "I will heal their backsliding," and then he says, "I will love them freely." You see it, church? Don't miss it. The whole reason behind Jehovah Rapha giving us a spiritual healing is because He loves us. And anytime we're corrected, anytime that we are instructed, anytime that the Lord deals with us, it is so that we will be in fellowship with Him. Because He loves us. He says, "For mine anger is turned away from Him as they return." I got tickled at Thomas the other... In fact, it was just May 14th, because I try to take a proverb. Don't always do it, but I try to take a proverb a day where right after supper or right after lunch, we read a proverb together as a family. And with my age children, I usually don't get through a whole proverb. Usually it's about 6 or 7 verses, but I'll comment on them and I'll ask questions. And it's amazing the responses you get from little children on the truths that you get there. But this particular day, 14th, it had Proverbs 14:14, which says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways." And I explained that a little bit and explained what a backslider was. And then Thomas piped up. He said, "Oh," he said, "so basically what you're saying is we need to be forward sliders." Well, I guess if you say it that way, that's a good way of putting it. We need to be some forward sliders, not backsliders. We need to be going forward for Christ. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. But God does heal us, friends, when we get off track. He brings us back. Maybe He's dealing with you right now. Maybe you're off track and you know it. Would you let Jehovah Rapha come into your life and bring a supernatural healing? God also heals us from our sinful habits. Number 4. God heals our sinful habits. Those are our strongholds, also called addictions, also called besetting sins, that we each have some sort that we struggle with that seems to come back in our life, a weakness. God wants to heal us from those things. Can I just say something here, Christian? Let's never, ever excuse a weakness or use a weakness as an excuse. Just because I'm weak at something doesn't mean I can say, "Lord, I don't believe I'll ever get victory here." We need to realize that God will bring healing. But in order to be a healing in our sinful habits, there needs to be a yielding. Like I said earlier, it's interesting that one of the translations, one of the derivatives of Rapha, is translated yielding. And that teaches us something even right there, that one of the greatest ways to be healed is to yield. One of the greatest ways to be healed is to yield to the Lord God Almighty. That means we come to Him. We allow the great physician to work on us. We allow Him to tell us the bad news sometimes. We allow Him to humble us at times. We just come openly and say, "Lord, I need a healing. I'm tired of living sick and weak and feeble. I'm tired of it." The French word for weakness is faible. I say that sometimes, faible. But we see that we have these sinful habits that God is wanting to put His hand on and bring healing. I know of a situation recently about someone who refused to to go to the doctor to see about a spot that was on their body. And they probably would not have gone, but one of the family members saw it and confronted them about it, said, what is that? Of course, at that time, it came out that the place had been there for a good long while. The family member had been hiding it from everybody. They went to the doctor, and unfortunately, it was not a good ending. It was too late. The particular spot had spread all over the body, and there was nothing the doctors could do. And I'm afraid that many times there are people in the church that will die, sick believers, powerless believers, because they refuse to get the help from Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals. And may God help us to realize that whatever you're struggling with and you feel in bondage to, you have a God who will meet you where you are, and He will bring you the help. We need to be willing to be responsible, to be accountable, to be transparent, and let the Lord do what He does best. And He is the one that heals. Romans 16:6-16 says this, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." So whoever we're obeying in life, that's our master. And my prayer for myself and for every person in this room is that Jesus Christ would be our master. Fifthly, we see here, God heals our bitterness. He heals our bitterness. Christians do deal with this. It's basically a spirit of anger. And I believe in many ways the children of Israel dealt with this in the spirit that they had. Because normally when you have a complaining, critical spirit, you can trace it back to that person is bitter in some way. And they've never let God heal them of that. But in this situation, I want us to see God is wanting to bring healing to that. The human heart, apart from Christ, truly has a proclivity for resentment and hatred toward those who have caused offense or hurt. The bitter water in Marah was not the problem. It was the bitter hearts of the Israelites. God was seeking to break them and heal them of this debilitating ailment. God says clearly in Ephesians 4:31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor." That word clamor is lashing out. Can I tell you something here by the grace of God? If you and your family have a communicate by lashing out to each other in anger, I want to tell you that's a spirit of anger. And I speak from experience. I grew up with it and I have been guilty of it with my own children. Yes, even as the pastor of this church. And what we need to realize is that lashing out is not of God. The bitter spirit is not. It says, "And evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." That word malice there is with all ill will. But it says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." God will heal us of this bitterness. We put off the bitterness and you put on. You say, how do we do that? You do it by your choice. It's a choice of the will. God will meet you right with that choice of obedience. People say, I just can't do it. Well, we got to choose to, even when we don't feel like it. Because a lot of times we never do it because we never feel like doing it. But God will heal you of that. Are you in bondage in some way with an angry spirit? You ought to repent today and say, God, forgive me and heal me of this. Help me to be a mama who is controlled by the Spirit of God. Help me to be a daddy. Help me to be a daughter. Help me to be a son. Help me to be a sister, a brother. Help me to be an aunt or uncle, Lord, a teacher, a co-worker that's filled with your Spirit. And that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I'm not living in my past. I'm not living with hurt. I'm living freely. Amen. There's liberty there, friend. That's because Jehovah Rapha brings healing and liberty. Hey, there's nothing like being healed, is it? When you've been sick and you're coming out of that sickness, or you've had some sort of problem in your life, and boy, God brings some physical healing, it's just, man, it feels great. You almost feel like you're ready to take on the world. Well, I can't tell you, there's not much difference than being freed spiritually. You get life in you. And the Lord gets the glory for that, doesn't He? Closing, let me give you this one. God heals us of our half-heartedness. God heals our half-heartedness. You know, God can heal us of our carelessness and apathy. Jesus told the church in Revelation, and this particular church was the church of Laodicea. And notice what He says to this church. He had a message for every church, and this was for this church. He said, I know thy works. He said, that thou art neither cold nor hot. He said, I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Do you know what He's dealing with here? The idea of lukewarm was the idea of fully committed. He's like, look, you need to be fully committed as a child of God. And many times in our churches, the way we lie dormant and we don't see the hand of God changing lives in many ways is because we're dormant. We're just lying there. We're half-hearted. We're maybe strong in this point, but we take off in this point. And God is saying, no, I want you to be fully committed to Me. He said, you're not hot or cold. You're this in this middle ground. I want to tell you, if we're going to see this nation change for the glory of God, it's going to start in local churches just like this one. Please understand, church, do I believe that God can heal America of the sickness that we are seeing spiritually and morally in so many ways? You know, I do believe there will be pockets of healing. I do believe there will be revivals. I'm praying for it. I'm trusting God for it. But my friends, I don't think that's the most important question to ask this morning. I believe the question that we need to ask ourselves, listen please, is there healing for the local church? Because that is what God has chosen to use to bring about a healing in the nations. Remember, the children of Israel were called to go and to proclaim a holy God, a loving God, a God who saves. And they were to be that example, and that's what was going to cleanse the nations. And God has, in this dispensation, has turned from Israel as far as using them to be His lighthouse. He hadn't forgot about them. They're still His chosen people. And we need to pray for the peace of Israel and the peace of Jerusalem. But I want to tell you right now, God turned to the Gentiles. That's you and me. He turned to the local churches, just like this one, Crooked Creek Baptist and many others in our community. He's chosen us to be the light, to be the salt of the earth. You know, salt preserves. And Jesus said, ye are the salt. You are to be the salt. It's a preserving agent, church. And if we sit here and not do anything, we can't expect a nation to be healed of its moral sickness. No, my friends, it's going to come when we get serious with God. When we start getting out and proclaiming the gospel boldly. When we start getting right with God and letting Him heal us and be broken but put back together by the grace of God. It's going to be when we are filled with unity in our local church. It's going to be filled when we're faithful to the local church and faithful to our Bibles and faithful to our family devotions and letting God change us in the neighborhoods He's put us in and the workplaces He's put us in. My friends, if you want to see healing in this nation, it's going to begin healing in your heart and my heart in this local church. I'm telling you, we need the healing hand of God upon our half-heartedness. Are you as joyful and happy about your salvation as you used to be? Do you love your Bible like you did one time? You know, we get off track, don't we? I know I do. But then we have to realize, but praise God, we serve Jehovah Rapha. We come to Him and we let Him put His healing hand upon our lives. And we see healing done. Families being revived and changed by the power of God. Don't forget about what God said. Remember that in Jeremiah 8:22? You know the song, "Is there a balm in Gilead?" Is there not a balm in Gilead? That comes from this verse, Jeremiah 8:22. It says this, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician?" That word physician is Rapha. "Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" What is going on here? What does that verse mean? Well, you got to read the historical context. Gilead was a place east of the Jordan River. And it was famous for its healing and medicinal salves, the medicine that they had there. Physicians were renowned to practice there. And so just as Gilead was just over the river and was recognized for its healing balm, why would not the people recognize that Lord as Jehovah Rapha? In other words, I believe you can sum it up like this. That verse is saying, "Children of Israel, do you realize how close I am to you? I am your God. I am your covenant God-keeping God. I am here for you. I am here to bring healing. I'm close. And do you not realize, yes, Gilead's right over there, and they got this famous oil that does bring, that has medicinal purposes, but he's saying, right here, I'm here to heal you." And so my challenge to leave with you this morning is, are you experiencing the healing hand of God? Are you living the life of a backslider? My encouragement to you and challenge to you is to come back to your God today. And if you're here today without Christ and you wonder why you're miserable, you wonder why you can't have the peace with God, you wonder why you just can't seem to get victory in anything, You can't get peace about this life. You can't get peace without God. You don't have any interest in the things of God. What can I tell you today? The Spirit of God may be saying, "Come to me and let me heal your soul." And that's when you will be revived. That's when you'll be born again, as the Scriptures say. That's when you'll be made alive and you'll be quickened by the Spirit of the living God. And that's when you're going to start wanting God. That's when you're going to start responding to God. That's when things are going to start clicking. Not that it means that everything turns just a cakewalk, but thank God, life does make sense when we are walking with the Lord, when we are surrendered to Him, when we are His children, and when He is having His will and way. My friends, in closing, I want to ask you a question. What is Jehovah Rapha to you today?